You are listening to Inverse Autasky, the Atari 8-bit productivity podcast. Season 4. Episode 6. Overview.
Welcome again to another excellent episode.
Okay. This is getting old.
Maybe, but I just can't help myself. I'm your host, Wade, and this episode features Excellent Software's Typesetter. Typesetter is touted as layout and design printware. I'll let the manual do the talking again, though I don't think it quite captures it fully. The concept underlying Typesetter is to let the user compose a page using the maximum resolution of the printer as opposed to the maximum resolution of the computer. And that's all they had to say. So the page in reference here is a printed page. You can mix text and graphics at will, much like Rubber Stamp and Page Designer, both previously featured on Inverse Autasky. See the show notes for links. Rather than working with limited sizes of graphics, you can now edit an entire printed page. As for the publisher, who doesn't know who Excellent Software is by now? If you don't, go back and listen to Season 4, Episode 2, featuring First Excellent Word Processor. There's a link for it in the show notes.
Technical data.
Typesetter was released in 1985 by Excellent Software. It was developed by Pipes Dave Craftsman, and the programmer was Lynn Dorfman and Dennis Young. Note that there's no doctor on Lynn Dorfman now. It does not require BASIC, and the memory requirements were either 48K or 128K. The price was $34.95. This was the most expensive Excellent Software product to date, and the price today is $80.13. A joystick is required, or alternatively, you can use a Koala Pad or Atari Touch Tablet. The manual is 34 pages cover to cover, and in standard Excellent Software fashion, it contains a mix of graphics and text. It's printed on 5.5 by 8.5 inch paper, double-sided, with either a Daisy Wheel printer or near letter quality dot matrix. Further, just like all the other Excellent manuals I've seen, there is a caricature of the staff on the back, sans Jennifer Brabson. The front cover has Typesetter in tall, thin, light gray letters, which run full width across the page and repeated 8 times from top to bottom. Between the top 2 occurrences is Typesetter in red italicized lettering of a different font at basically the same height. Under that, in small Times Roman type red letters, are the author's credits on 2 lines, which read by Dennis Young and Lynn Dorfman. At the bottom left, in the same red font as the author's credits, are 6 lines with some space between lines 2 and 3, and the first 2 lines read Atari 130XE, 800XL, and 48K computers. The last 4 lines read, brings high-res text and graphics to ProWriter, NEC, and Epson printers. In the middle is a black graphic depicting a man with a wineskin on his back and looks to be wearing an animal fur, so maybe he's a caveman. He's using a paintbrush to write Typesetter. In the bottom right in black is the Excellent Software logo along with their address and contact information, including their telex info.
What is a telex?
Telex was a switch network of teleprinters used to send text messages. Kind of instant messaging before instant messaging, or Twitter before Twitter, and your phone's text capability before it had it. This manual does seem to be slightly better written than the others from Excellent, and it even includes some very short tutorials for tricky aspects of the program. The standard Excellent packaging applies here as well. It's a single-fold vinyl folder sized at roughly 6 by 9 inches. A copy of the manual's front page is inserted in the outside front cover. The front inner sleeve contains the program disk and registration card. The rear inner sleeve contains the manual. The registration card is 3 by 5 inches and looks to have been printed using one of Excellent Printware products.
Usage notes.
All right, first you should know there are 2 versions included, a 48K version and a 128K version. If you have a 130XE, you can use the 128K version. There's a difference in the version in the maximum output resolution. For the 48K version, the maximum printer resolution is 704 by 624 pixels. This increases to 768 by 762 pixels in the 128K version. The 48K version uses a contiguous 28K block of memory, whereas the 128K version uses 32K of memory in two of the memory banks. On the 130XE, you work on either the top or bottom half, which correlates to one of the memory banks. So what does this mean? On the 48K version, that equates to 439,296 pixels, and on the 128K version, that's 585,216 pixels. There's an ad from Analog August 1985 that says 491,520 pixels, though. So somewhere right in between. And maybe that's some different math that they used.
Maybe it was Common Core?
The 128K version has one additional feature, at least, and that is superior error checking. The 130XE version is on the front of the disk, while the 48K version is on the back. You boot the computer without BASIC and the appropriate version oriented correctly in the disk drive to get started. You view the screen like a spreadsheet, whereas the overall page is larger than the viewing window. And the total page is 88 columns wide. There are three main program options, which are text editor, sketchpad, and print options. And I'll start with the text editor. The common features between the 48K and the 128K versions of the text editor are as follows. So you can use Control-A. This uses the standard Atari font. Control-B uses a graphic font, which are the special characters Excellent has provided. Control-C is the control character font, which is the standard Atari control characters, or a ASCII set. You need to access them this way because the control key is used to access features. Control-D is the international font on XL and XE computers. This does nothing on the 400 and 800. Control-J and Control-P shift the page content either one column right or one column left. Control-K and Q shift the page content 1/8 of an inch right or left. Control-U and V shift the page content one mode line up or down. And the up, down, left, and right keys are used to navigate the page. Control-8 changes the character height, and like with rubber stamp, there are 8 to choose from. Control-W changes the character width, and just like with rubber stamp, there are 4 to choose from. Control-R lets you rotate text in 90-degree increments. Control-X advances the vertical down toggle, and this lets you type down the page rather than across. Control-Y changes the advanced vertical up toggle, and this lets you type up the page rather than across. Then there's Control-Z, which is advanced horizontal left toggle. This lets you type across the page, but from right to left instead of left to right. And note, each of the altered typing patterns is canceled when you hit a border, and they are only available for standard character sizes. Control-M, this sets the left and right margins concurrently from 1 to 6 columns. Control-O is an overlay mode, which lets you put text over something that's already there. And Control-E erases the visible screen contents. Now for version specifics, and I'll start with Typesetter 65 or the 48K version. When loading this version, you notice right away that the screen color is different. It's a dark green with light green text and uses the fancy 3 font. There are 4 boxes drawn around the screen using the inverse Atari box characters. The lines in each are centered. The topmost box is 12 rows tall. Inside it, the first line reads, Excellent Software, in all uppercase. The next line reads, Presents, in all lowercase. Then, nestled inside here, there is a 4-row box in inverse video, and the contents of this one have the program title on 2 rows, which read, The 65, and then the next line is Typesetter, and beneath that, on the next 4 lines, are the author credits and copyright. The next box is 6 rows high and has instructions for the menu. The top line says, press select for choice with select in inverse video. There are 3 options. The first is text editor. The second is sketchpad, and the last is print options. The current selection is an inverse video as well. And the third box on the screen is three rows high and has one line in it that says press start to begin with start in, you guessed it, inverse video. And the word begin is in uppercase. The last box is also three rows high and has one line in it that says a new product by Pipestave Craftsman. Once you select text editor, you are presented the editor screen. The screen is all black except for three rows at the top and one row at the bottom, which are text rows and are dark green with light green text. The font is a standard Atari font, and in the top left it says Typesetter Editor. On the top right first row, it has the cursor row indicator and character height indicator. On the top right second row, it has the margin indicator, the cursor column indicator, and the character width indicator. The commands here work much the same way as the ones in Typesetter 130. The main difference is where the prompts and the status information is displayed. This version, because it does not have a menu for file functions, tells you what function you pressed on the second line of the screen, flushed right. Then it will guide you through the steps for that function in the same location. And for specifics, there's Control F, which is load font, Control G, which is load a graphics 8 or 7 plus screen, Control N, which is load page designer page, Control L, which is load a typesetter page, but you can't load pages from the 128K version, Control S, which is save a typesetter page, Control T, which is disk directory, Control slash, which is format disk, and Control I, which is fill screen with character. Okay, now on to the Typesetter 130 or 128K version. When loading this version, you'll notice that the screen is blue with light blue text and also uses the Fancy 3 font. The screen design is virtually identical to the Typesetter 65 version. The only exception is the program title. For this version, it reads the 130XE and on the next line, Typesetter. One thing I noticed about both versions of the menu is that the select and start keys are not always caught. Sometimes you have to press them down for a second or double press them to get them to activate. Once you select text editor, you are presented the editor screen. The screen is all black except for the same three rows at the top and one row at the bottom like in the 65 version. The font for this version is the Fancy 3 font, not the standard Atari font, unlike the 65 version. The only difference in the display is the third line and the bottom line, which happen to be the same here. The line has top with an arrow flush left and top with another arrow flushed right. And as you navigate around the page, the space between will fill up with Atari graphic ball characters to show you how far over on the page that you are. So envision top on the left and right with arrows pointing in towards each other, and then that area filling up as a meter. So the first thing to note, as I mentioned, is that you work on either the top half or the bottom half at any given time. Control F will fill the half page you are working on with a character. Control I will italicize characters on the screen. And this operates on any number of rows between 1 and 21 at the same time. And this process can take up to a minute for more than 21 rows. Control S is for slicing, and this lets you type with horizontal slices taken out of the text. I guess the best explanation is to look at the Excellent Software logo. Control T toggles between upper and lower portion of the page, and Control N takes you to a mini DOS, which I'll describe next. Okay, so mini DOS is only available on the 130XE version. And it's not so much of a mini DOS as a file function menu. And then the first option is directory slash autoload. And this lets you walk the disk directory, and when you're on a file you want to load, be it a font or Typesetter 130 file, you press the spacebar and then you can select F for font or P for page to load it. The next one is character set load, and this lets you load a new character set from disk. Any one of the millions of .fnt files out there will work.
Wait, I thought we decided there were probably only several hundred.
Right, but you get the idea. Next is Typesetter 130XE page load, and this loads a Typesetter 130 page. Next is Typesetter 130XE page save, and this saves the current page. The next option is page designer page load, and this loads a page designer page. Then you have graphics 8/7 plus screen load. This loads any graphics 8 or 7 plus screen. And these must be in uncompressed form, which means that they will occupy 62 single density disk sectors. You can also choose to load them in normally or expanded. And this gives you some flexibility based on the desired print size. The next option is typesetter 65 page load. This lets you load a typesetter 65 page, and it gets loaded into the center of the work area, and you can move it around inside the editor. The next option is format data disk. What could this do?
I think it is like rm space dash rf space slash asterisk. Try it.
Right, that will fix everything.
Public service announcement. Do not attempt this stunt. What you have just heard was performed by a trained professional. Severe complications could result, including, but not limited to, lost data, personal trauma, anal leakage, and death.
And then you have two exit options, and the first of which is exit to text editor. This returns you to the text editor, and you have exit to main menu, which returns you to the main menu. The next primary menu option is Sketchpad. This lets you draw icons to stamp onto your main page design, and you will need the joystick for this. If you're using Typesetter 130, you can also use the Koala Pad or Atari Touch tablet. There are a variety of drawing functions at your disposal here, some of which are solid fill, vertical stripe fill, horizontal stripe fill, fine checkerboard fill, wide space dot fill, alternating line and dot fill, circle, sphere, and freehand drawing. You can copy segments from the main page, modify them, and copy them back. You can also save and load with the sketch pads. With Typesetter 130, you can also switch between the top and bottom of a page, the main page that is, and select which device you want to use, joystick, Koala Pad, or Atari Touch Tablet. The screens are basically the same between the two versions. The top three rows are text, as is the bottom, with image area in between. For Typesetter 65, these text rows are dark green with light green text. For Typesetter 130, these are dark blue with light blue text. The first row is slightly different between the versions, Typesetter 65. For Typesetter 65, it says Sketchpad option in inverse video with an arrow pointing right. Then it says press escape for menu with escape in inverse video. And menu is in all uppercase. For Typesetter 130, it says Sketchpad in inverse video with an arrow pointing right, but no spaces at all here. Then it says escape to menu with menu in uppercase. Following that, the line is divided by bar characters into two sections. One has the X coordinate of the cursor, and one has the Y coordinate of the cursor. The second line is nearly identical. It has the menu options for the editor divided by the bar characters. At the far right is the only difference. In Typesetter 65, it has inverse spaces filling in the last little bit. In Typesetter 130, it has three additional sections, one with T, one with J, and one that is a single inverse space. The T is to toggle the upper and lower half memory banks, with T representing the top half currently being displayed. This will be a B when it's the bottom half being displayed. The J indicates a joystick is in use, and this will change to A for Atari Touch Tablet or K for Koala Pad. The third and bottom lines are the same between versions. They are filled with periods, and every sixth character is a sequential letter from the alphabet, A through F. So this is essentially your ruler line. And last, you have a Star Raiders type cursor in white. In the last primary menu option is print options. And here printing is pretty much straightforward with minimal options. Once a printer is selected, you have the choice of size, vertical full height, vertical half height, or horizontal full height. Once you press start to begin, it goes about printing. And just to touch on the files a little bit, both versions appear to use OSS DOS XL 2.3. This seems to be Excellent Software's DOS of choice. Typesetter 65 has the following files on it: DOS.sys, which is DOS, autorun.sys, which is the autoloader, caveman.pic, this is an uncompressed graphic screen, press.pic, and that's P-R-E-S, so I guess prez.pic, which is an uncompressed graphics screen, 6 sketchpad files, AT800, XL800, XE130, XLENT, Digi1, and Digi2.
I did neither.
14 fonts, block, square, space, outline, modern, serif, cursive, cursive 1, advin, archaic 2, fancy 2, fancy 3, my favorite, standard, and stylish. And there are 11 ASM files, which are the various program components. Typesetter 130 has the following files on its side of the disk. DOS.sys, which is DOS, autorun.sys, which is the autoloader, staff.pic, which is an uncompressed graphic screen. 5 sketchpad files this time, the first of which is AT800, then there's XL800, XL130, XLENT, and a new one, Atari. On this side of the disk are 19 fonts. There is some replication from the other side. The first is block, then there is square, space, outline, modern, serif, cursive, cursive 1, advin, archaic 2, fancy 2, fancy 3, again my favorite, standard, stylish, and some additional ones which are not on the 65 version are stop, Greek, Roman, Gothic, and convoy.
Fun factoids.
First, there's a blurb in the manual that really pushes the 130XE, almost like Atari paid them, or maybe Excellent was just insightful and could predict the pending decline. Listen, to reap all the benefits of Typesetter, the staff of Excellent Software suggests that if you do not yet own a 130XE, buy one. Atari has provided us with a very inexpensive but powerful micro. Even if you already have the 800, 800XL, or 1200XL, the 130XE is worth considering. Remember that Atari is not just an organization dedicated to supporting those of us who have already purchased their machines. Atari must sell new computers to keep going. The 130XE makes possible the advanced features found in Typesetter. Excellent Software highly endorses the 130XE. Well, I guess I'm going to get my checkbook and go right out. Next, this manual also includes the bit about seeking boot advice from someone between the ages of 6 and 20, like Page Designer did. And next up, one of the suggested use cases is for creating transparencies. You know, that PowerPoint before PowerPoint. Remember those in school? And last, Excellent claimed this to be the first commercial product to support the full memory of the 130XE. Although, as we've seen, it doesn't use it all.
Summary.
I wasn't sure what to expect with Typesetter considering Excellent has so many printware utilities. I thought there would be a lot of overlap, and indeed there is some. But there are enough additional features to warrant another entry in their list of products. The nice thing about this software is that it actually lets you design an entire printed page. Maybe it should have been called Page Designer. I was hoping this would pick up where Page Designer left off, though, and it sort of does, and it's designed to work with Page Designer as well as with Rubber Stamp and Megafont 2 Plus. I thought that the 130XE version would offer more of a memory advantage than it does. With the 64K of extra memory to work with, there is only a measly 4K increase over the 48K version. Maybe that's all that's needed for the full printer resolution output. I also thought it should work seamlessly with the memory rather than making you switch between top and bottom of the image, or rather memory banks 1 and 2. This is kind of like Atari Writer's handling of the extra memory compared to how Paperclip does it. Paperclip manages a seamless integration of the memory banks. This should too. In fact, any program dealing with extra memory should handle that task for you rather than having you manage that task. Both Atari Writer and Paperclip have been featured in the past, so see show notes for links. Since Excellent supplies two versions of the program, I was hoping that they would have a more diverse set of fonts, or extra graphics supplied. Instead, you get 14 fonts repeated on both sides of the disk. There are also 3 unique graphic pictures between the sides, though. I mentioned earlier that select and start keys were not as hot as they should be, requiring extra effort for them to be picked up. The menus, like the File function menu, are also a bit slow when navigating between items. Usage of the program was not that difficult, though. Like with Rubber Stamp, it required some reading before I could easily do much with it. Luckily, there is overlap between the programs, so that went pretty quickly. It's easy to see that Typesetter was likely used to craft many of Excellent Software's advertisements, or significant portions anyway. There are some examples in the show supplement page on the website. At the end of the day, I was thinking of this more like a supersized rubber stamp than anything else. The ability to mix text and graphics seamlessly without a lot of effort is a tremendous feat for this computer, or any 8-bit computer of that era for the matter. Having complete flexibility over every pixel's placement ensures that you are in complete control of the design. You are limited only by your imagination. Today, every feature of this program is available in just about every single word processor. Namely, because today's word processors have grown to be do-it-all programs. But these modern superstars don't always make the job easy. I've fought on numerous occasions with Microsoft Word and Apple Pages for control on more than just one occasion. It's frustrating when a program thinks it knows better than you how to place something. I didn't feel that way with Typesetter. So what did I like about Typesetter? Well, first, if you have a character size selected and you try to add something to the page that won't fit, it will alert you rather than messing up the design. Next, all of the command summary pages in the manual are grouped together, making them easy to reference, as it should be. And last, this is pretty easy to use and navigate overall. What did I dislike about Typesetter? There's only a couple of things. First, when printing for the first time in a session, you're prompted on the menu for which printer you want to use. Then it loads the print program, I guess, and it asks again what printer you want. This time, it's in a large Graphics 2 screen. Once you do this once, you don't have to do it again. And it's strange that the first selection doesn't actually make the selection for you. Seems like it should remember. And last, both versions give you a disk directory by flipping through files one at a time. I prefer to see as many files as I can all at once. It's easier to glance over a list than try to remember the names that flash by one at a time. From a 1985-1986 perspective, would I use it? Yeah, I think I would. There wasn't any real competition for doing free-form, full-page bitmap graphics at the time, so this was pretty much the only way to get that done. From a retro perspective, would I use it? Again, yes, I think so. For free-form, full-page bitmap graphics, Typesetter makes the process simple. It gives you all the freedom and design that you could possibly want as well. For a bit rating, I'm going to have to give this an 8. It does exactly what it claims to do, and at a price point that's hard to argue with.
Special thanks.
The last time I thanked the letter R, I'm going to skip the letter S, and I think I'm going to thank the letter T, for without T, we wouldn't have Typesetter. I also got to thank you, the listener, for continuing to listen and support me, and we need to thank WizWars for the awesome chiptune 8-bit raceway. Thanks, everyone.
Contact information.
You can email me, Wade, with wade@inversetaski.info or inversetaski@icloud.com, or you can use the contact form on the Inversetaski website, which happens to be inversetaski.info. You can find Inversetaski on Twitter with @inversetaski, and you can find Inversetaski on Facebook with facebook.com/inversetaski. You can also find Inversetaski on iTunes and at some point Google Play.
Goodbye.